This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Okay, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Was this episode 4?
Yeah, episode 4.
So thank you so much to both of you that tweeted about asking where the podcast was.
One of them was me.
Yeah. We said this before, a lot of people like to do a regular podcast. We only want listeners that have looked hard for this, and that's why we're going irregular and sporadic with this podcast. So yeah. Thanks for joining us. I'm joined by Rumadge. Hello, Rumadge.
Hey, Ramesh.
How you doing?
Very well.
Happy New Year.
And to you.
Up until what date are you allowed to say Happy New Year? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
See, I know.
But I think it isn't the rule just when you've seen that person for the first time.
Well, somebody else said this to me, but I think that's bullshit. Because so if you see someone for the first time in November,
yeah,
you're making a dick of yourself, aren't you?
Let's do it.
All right, fine. Yeah. Fine. That's the rule now. Rumadge has spoken on it. How was your New Year, Rumadge?
Lovely. Had a little party. I hosted a party.
Yeah, you mentioned this before we started recording.
Did I not invite you?
No.
No. Would you have come?
You might have done.
Mm. Oh, well.
Was it on New Year's Eve?
Yeah. Just hired a venue up the road from my house.
You hired a venue? Mm. So how many people went?
About 80.
80 people?
Yeah.
And I wasn't one of those people that you invited? Out of 80
I think
people?
I did invite you on Facebook.
No, you didn't.
Oh, well.
Okay. Let's just know.
I invited you.
Sorry. Right, listen. Right, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
Let's get this out of the way. Mm. Facebook invites don't count, mate.
Right, yeah.
You're supposed to send an email or text.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know for next year.
No, fuck you. I'm not coming next year. Fuck you, mate.
We started well. How was your Christmas?
It was good. I had a little party. Invited 85 people.
Oh, far better than me.
Anyway, good. We've done the introductions. We're all caught up here, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
I am very excited to introduce our guest for today. It is the one and only Michael Payne. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How's life treating you?
It's acceptable. Yeah, life's treating me good.
Yeah.
It's nice and really warm in here.
It's too warm, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got a damp brow.
Michael has got this. What he's done, as soon as he's walked in, he's got himself like a little napkin and he's sort of dabbing his forehead.
Yeah,
it makes you look very sophisticated.
This is a hip hop podcast after all, so I'm dabbing.
What,
I'm
gentleman?
Doing the very middle class dab, though.
It's really good, man. I love it. I like it. Now, listen, I'm a massive fan.
Likewise, sir.
I'm a massive fan of yours. Blame Miss Barclay was my walk on music.
Yeah.
It was for both my Edinburgh show, my last Edinburgh show, and for my live at the Apollo.
Mm.
I sort of feel like I've just said that just so that I can say I did live at the Apollo, but that's not the... Can we edit that?
No, leave it in.
Why Mr. Payne writes in the way that he does? Some are genuinely intrigued, some are making a fuss. They just can't seem to figure it out, so they complain and they cuss. They feel the sting because he's got to be creating a buzz. There's no bitch behind these bars, he doesn't bow in the showers. And no impulse to keep him sweet, he's acting sour to cowards. While the flavour shuts him up, he's found a way to sum shit up. The end result, 3/16 to the power of hours.
But I'm a huge fan.
Likewise,
so thank
sir.
You so much for coming on.
No,
to
cheers
the show.
For having me, man. It's an honour.
You're a big hip hop fan, right?
I am.
Are you still as into it as you always have been?
Do you know what? I'd say no, only because I've got into so much more music now. So many different genres.
Yeah.
So I've kind of spread myself a little more thinly now, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there really is a lot of sort of hip-hop that I'm not really that interested in anymore. As hip-hop's grown,
yeah,
there's more choice now, isn't there? So I'd say no, to be perfectly honest.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's honest. What about you, Rumadge?
I'd like to repeat what he just said. I was massively into it in the 90s.
Why are we
90s.
Doing this podcast?
Well, you said it changed your life.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be people that are into hip-hop. You don't like hip-hop anymore?
No, I do, but I don't listen to it like as one genre only like I did.
Is it still your favourite genre? Jesus Christ. Guys, you are listening to...
I don't think you can have a favourite genre.
You are listening to...
I just like music.
No, you
I'm
are
really
listening to Rumadge's last Hip-Hop Save My Life.
Right, we are recording another one straight after this.
Okay, you are listening to the penultimate of Rue Madge's Hip Hop Saved My Life, all right?
Oh, no.
This is unbelievable. So what is your favourite?
Hip Hop.
Fuck off. Are you into country? No. Are you into country,
no.
Michael?
Wouldn't say so on the whole, no. One or two songs maybe that I'd think, oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
And tell good stories.
Would the Achy Breaky Heart go down as country?
Is that
I think Billy Ray Cyrus,
Miley's dad.
Miley's pops, yeah.
Should we not talk about hip-hop today?
I sort of think, you saying that Achy Breaky Heart is your favourite country, it's like somebody going, yeah, I'm into hip-hop, I like Ice Ice Baby. That must be the equivalent,
it's
mustn't
by
it?
Default, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I mean?
My favourite one's Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, that's a big Jesus tune. Christ. That's a big tune. That reminds me of school discos. The Police used
I can't
to do
remember
school
who
discos
the
in
artist
school.
Was.
The Police?
As it not Sting's band.
No.
The Met Police.
You used to do school
they
discos?
They were the DJs. They were the DJs at our school discos.
But hold on, why?
No idea. I've never figured it out. But they were... A constable would come through and spin some tunes. And
like
we
Cotton Eye Joe.
Like Cotton Eye Joe.
Would they be wearing, like, the Police gear?
Do you know what? Funnily enough, I can't remember.
Right.
That's the thing I can't remember. But I reckon they probably were. Because otherwise, how would we... They could have been anyone just saying they were a policeman.
Yeah.
CID, maybe.
So what? There's like a guy...
wearing a hat backwards.
Which looks the same as wearing it forwards. Yeah.
Did you go
especially the tithead one.
Did you go to a rough school?
Do you know what? We used to pass Ofsted examinations with, like, flying colours and...
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was a rough school. It was a Hackney primary school.
Okay.
So it had its. There's the school opposite us, De Beauvoir Primary School.
Yeah.
That was rough. That was a rough.
Hold
school.
On, De Beauvoir.
Yeah.
But that sounds like
it sounds posh as fuck, yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah. I live on an estate called De Beauvoir. Well, I live across the road from one, but I used to sort of hang around in this estate. The whole it's like an area in the corner of Hackney. And like it's just right by Shoreditch and Hoxton and that, and it sounds really posh. And I live next door to a deli now. Do you know what I mean? Gentrification is rife.
Yeah.
But it's had a posh name before it was posh.
You're talking about gentrification.
Yeah.
I really would like to get your opinion on the cereal cafe. You know the cereal cafe.
Yeah. Do you know what? I actually know one of the owners.
Right.
I met him.
Yeah.
One of the twins.
I actually. Felt really sorry for him when this like angry mob
protest,
tried to firebomb the serial killer cafe. Do you know what I mean? And I expressed that to him. I was like, look, gentrification has its pros and cons. That's how I see it, man. Like, my rent goes up all the fucking time, man. It's annoying, but at the same time, there's a lot more to do now in the borough. The borough looks a lot, you know, especially my area, it looks a lot nicer. So many more facilities. The infrastructure's changed. Yeah, like I said, the cons are the fact that, you know, prices go up, man. But prices go up in life anyway, do you know what
But
I mean?
You know, but the thing is, I know prices go up, but the other thing, you know, with regards to that cereal cafe, you know, people are saying it's so expensive to buy a bowl of cereal or whatever, but that is not, we're not talking about, that's not a life or death decision.
That's the thing, don't buy the bowl of cereal.
It's not people going, Jesus Christ, you can't even get a bowl of cereal around here, man. Oh my God. You know, do you know how many people are struggling to even get a bowl of Captain Crunch? Like, that's not what it's about. So, like,
exactly.
When Channel 4 News, like, doorstepped and went, do you think it's disgusting? They're selling. No, like, these people, there are cereal nutters that want, like, exclusive Lucky Charms
exactly.
And, like, toffee bits in or whatever.
They're not just selling, like, cornflakes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like Mournflake or whatever, like some boring ass cereal.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, on that token, if you're gonna go at serial killer for selling a bowl of cereal for more expensive than you can buy a box of cereal, then you might as well go after every restaurant for selling a chicken fillet in some sauce for more than you're going to be able to buy four chicken fillets from Sainsbury's.
Exactly.
Do you know
Let's
what I mean?
Do it. Yeah. And it's not like. You can't. It's not like Serial Killer went in and went, we're shutting down all the supermarkets.
Yeah.
You can still just buy regular price cereal and milk if you want to. Do you know what I mean? They haven't forced out Tesco.
It's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, and the price of that hasn't, like, you know, Kellogg's haven't come through and go, we've got to compete now.
Yeah.
So a box of cereal is now 60 quid.
Under immense pressure from one cafe in Shoreditch, Sainsbury's has had to increase the prices across all the cereals.
Exactly.
Do you know what
Never
I mean?
Going to happen.
Hey, man, what's your favourite hip-hop album?
Okay, Michael, listen, I've got a series of questions to ask you. The first one is, I wish I'd linked to that better. You're supposed to, I think if you're doing a proper interview, you're supposed to just get into it, aren't you?
Yeah.
I was supposed to seg from that
The cereal.
Cereal. Hold on, let me try it again.
Talking of cereal.
Cereal Killer Cafe. I think my favourite cereal is probably Fruit and Fibre. Speaking of favourites, Michael, what would you say is your favourite...
cereal.
What would you say is your favourite hip-hop album of all time? I know it's a difficult question, but we ask everyone.
Yeah.
I say we ask everyone. We've asked the three people before.
Yeah, that's everyone. That's 100% of the people. I would say... I'd say Ready to Die.
Ready to Die?
Big, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Put it to your headpiece. Run in the chamber. The safety is off. Release straight at your dog bones. I want to see cabbage. Biggie Small the Savage. Doing your brain cells much damage.
Ready to Die.
It's one of the only albums... No. I'm going to change that. I'm going to go with the Slim Shady LP.
Okay.
It's tough between those two.
So those would be your top two. So we can talk about both of them. Talk to me about Ready to Die. Why do you like that so much?
Ready to Die, I think it wasn't even the first hip hop album that I heard, but again, it was the first hip hop album that I played through all the way from beginning to end and thought this is amazing. I didn't just pick, you know, like one or two tunes that I'd liked as singles and thought, all right, I might as well get the album. I heard that before I heard any sort of singles or anything. Yeah. Instantly loved it, do you know what I mean? And it was, I don't have any brothers. I've just got four sisters. I've got an older sister who, she was such a big influence on my sort of music listening habits that she got Ready to Die, so I got Ready to Die.
Right.
You get what I'm saying. And... there's so much history in it, you know. It really kind of put me onto that wholesome East Coast hip hop sound that was coming through at that time. But then, and at the same time, it got me into other people. Like Biggie got me into Jay-Z. He got me into Nas. Do you know what I mean? He got me into Busta Rhymes.
Yeah,
stuff like that. So, yeah, I think Ready to Die for so many reasons.
I love Ready to Die. Yeah, Ready to Die.
It's incredible.
It's so good.
You know what I liked about Biggie? First of all, is when I was a really fat kid and I've got a lazy eye, and then Biggie was fat and had a lazy eye.
Amazing.
And I just thought, oh my God.
Connection.
The only difference between us is I don't have any of his talent. Do you know what I mean? But besides that, this is incredible. Yeah. So I connected with him straight away. But that album was so raw. It was a massive album, but it was so raw. Like the beats on it and his style and everything.
Yeah.
Was really obviously like everybody loves Juicy or whatever, you know, that aspirational thing.
Yeah,
like everyone's like, birthdays were the worst days.
Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty.
You know, we sip champagne when we thirsty. Yeah. No, you don't, mate. You sip water when you're thirsty.
Nobody's going, oh, I'm parched. I'm absolutely parched.
I'd love to dry my mouth.
Do you fancy a Dom P? Got some Verve Creek. I am absolutely...
Nothing more thirst quenching than some champagne. after running 5 kilometres, just necking a bottle.
That at the Olympics.
And also, I would also argue that birthdays weren't the worst days. I mean, all of the days might have been shit, but it wouldn't have been particularly shit on your birthday, would it?
Like, why were they the worst days? Because he never got any presents.
I guess so.
I think it was the expectation.
But that's just because you're raising your expectations.
Yeah.
Do you
know
what I mean?
He should have thought about the last birthday.
Yeah, exactly. What happened last year? I know, I got fuck all.
Exactly.
A load of champagne.
Don't expect anything and it'll be a normal day.
Do you know what? Just to be able to sip some champagne when I'm thirsty.
On my birthday.
On my birthday. Would be incredible.
You know, and who was he calling that his phone bill was 2 G's flat?
I know.
Every month?
Yeah. No need to worry, though.
He should have got a better deal.
His accountant handles that.
So what does he
have? Very good.
This is the thing. Technically, Biggie, you handle that. You're paying the phone bill. His accountant's not paying the phone bill.
If anything, mate, you've got a big phone bill and then you're paying extra for someone to deal with it.
I mean, to tell you that you've got a big phone bill.
You're leaking a lot of revenue here, mate. Do you know what I mean? Biggie was a legend, and I love Biggie, right? And one of my favourites, and I think the album's great. I remember being slightly disappointed with the Big Papa sort of remix that came out.
Like,
because on the album, that track is like dirty. Do you know what I mean? Like it's really. And then when the single came out, I was like, holy shit, they released it as a single. And then I heard it.
Completely different.
And I was like, oh my God, this is like some. This is like, I was like, is this featuring Brandy? Like, what the hell's going on? It was so. Do you know what I mean?
I think that was all Puffy's doing. Have you ever seen Notorious?
The biopic.
So you kind of, when you see why and how they made Juicy, you realize that any kind of. Any move to kind of propel Biggie into the mainstream was so carefully thought out by Puffy. Do you know what I mean? Like, you watching that film, you kind of realise why Suge Knight made that speech at the Soul Train Awards in it about, you don't want your, what is it?
Your producer or your manager.
All in the videos. That was Diddy, just everywhere. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, so... But the fact of the matter is, Juicy was a genius move.
Yeah.
An absolute, like, it was a stroke of genius to make the whole, because the whole album is 90% raw.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? From Warning to The What, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's an amazing, like, just, it's a gangster rap album. Yeah. It's hard as hell. But then Juicy just kind of provides that sort of
relief. It was both, it's catchy but also that aspiration, that sort of rags to riches kind of theme of it, I think connected with so many people, didn't it?
Exactly.
And then like, but then what my issue, not my issue, what that led to is loads of people doing tunes in that style, but they just did the riches bit and forgot to do the rags bit. Do you know what I mean?
Like, of course.
That story is endearing when you talk about how you came from nothing to something.
Yeah.
It's not endearing if you're just talking a load of shit how about what you've got now.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, people cut that bit out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they feel like they refined it, I reckon.
Yeah.
They made it worse.
Definitely.
They made it a lot more.
It's sort of a
crass.
Bit like how NWA, Straight Outta Compton, such an influential album. But I would argue the legacy of that album was actually bad in terms of like so many copycat records came out that weren't that rebellious record. It was just like, let's just be misogynistic and offensive just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Of course.
But yeah, that's a great record. What did you think of Biggie's subsequent stuff, like Life After Death? Did you like that album?
Life After Death for me isn't a playthrough album.
I totally agree, man.
I'm not gonna lie, it's not, and neither is Born Again.
Yeah.
What do you think he'd be doing now if he's still around?
That's a really good question, you know. People always ask, would he still be revered as the best rapper of all time? And
I think the two things people say is one that, and also would Jay-Z be as big as he is if Biggie was still around?
Yeah,
there's this argument that some people put forward that Jay-Z sort of thrived in the space that Biggie left behind. Do you know what I mean? The thing is, I'm judging Biggie over like two albums, right? And Jay-Z's got a much bigger back catalogue.
Yeah,
so it's an unfair comparison. You've got no idea what Biggie would have gone on to do. But like, I thought Biggie was amazing, but Jay-Z, whatever you think, even if you put his music to one side and his track listing is incredible.
Yeah.
His business now is insane. Mm. Like, and I just don't think Biggie had that.
It's true, Everything he's touched has turned to gold without sort of spouting cliches. He's gone into the food and beverages industry. He's gone into like hospitality. He's gone into even like, you know, helping Barack Obama get into the White House. That is a huge, huge thing. And to be able to rap about that type of thing and to do it so eloquently and do it so skillfully, I think that's what makes Jay-Z now arguably the best rapper of all time.
Yeah.
Not just his skills, but the things he can truthfully rap about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It gives him so much more. Right. Eminem for me is still the technically the most technically gifted MC of all time. I listened to his first two albums, Marshall Mathers LP, Slim Shady LP, and I genuinely can't listen to rap for the rest of the day. It's like, that's it for rap now. let's listen to Cotton Eye Joe.
Do you
know what I mean? I can't
Michael
listen to
just got achy breaky heart
and Cotton Eye Joe on repeat rotation.
Yeah.
All those plays on Spotify. That was me.
Maybe Biggie would have done a sort of guest rap on one of those tunes. Cotton
Eye Joe. baby
Hearts are achy breaky, you can't believe it. We can make that work.
Paul Puffy, he's probably got some
achy breaky
remix saying Joe.
You know, let's make him dance. Let's make him line dance.
Hold up. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so talking of Eminem, Slim Shady LP, is that your favorite? Because you name that,
yeah.
So you prefer that to Marshall Mathers LP?
Yeah, I think so. I think he just kind of lets loose so much on that. But yeah, there are some absolute gems on Marshall Mathers. I personally wish the Marshall Mathers LP and Slim Shady LP were one album, like a double, two disc album.
Yeah. Mm.
Just showing kind of two personas, you know, but I think, yeah, Slim Shady just pips Marshall Mathers to the post.
Slim Shady feels more of a straight sort of hip-hop bangers album than Marshall Mathers. I think Marshall Mathers is a great album, but you can see there is one eye on the commercial market, in a way that there wasn't on the Slim Shady LP. I'm sure there was on the Slim Shady LP, but it wasn't as obvious as it was on Marshall Mathers LP.
Of course.
The concepts that dude has.
Incredible.
Yeah. Just insane.
That's why I said, yeah, he's the, yeah, as an MC, just as an MC, you know, just the greatest to ever do it, I think.
Technically, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He, Guilty Conscience is, the whole idea of Stan, I just think, as a concept, whatever you think of the execution, I think the execution is great, but
yeah.
Whatever you think of the execution, the idea of having it, you know, that back to forth, it's just so good, man.
And getting to the stage where you can actually release something like that as a single. And it's one of your most successful singles of all time. Like, that alone is absolutely incredible. And I know people have done really subversive songs in the past, you know, and had massive success with them, like, namely The Police and I'll Be Watching You.
Yeah.
But Eminem was blatant about it.
Yeah.
This is about a crazed fan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's going to kill himself and his pregnant baby mother.
Yeah.
He's in the boot. Do you know what I mean? That to have the balls to do that alone is just, incredible. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I even got the underground shit that you did with Scam. I got a room full of your posters and your pictures, man. I like the shit you did with Rockets too. That was bad. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back, just a chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan. This is Stan. Did you buy all of his albums, or did you go? Because I went off him after Marshall. Yeah, lost interest after. Yeah. I think. Oh, what was the one after Marshall Mathers? Was it? See, I don't even know. That's the thing.
Was it? Eminem show? Or was it Encore?
I think it was Eminem show. I think Encore. Yeah,
obviously Encore. I mean, Jesus Christ. What came first? Was it Finale or The Beginning?
I think Eminem got rich, innit? And it's for the same reason that I went off 50 Cent for reason.
Yeah.
For because he when Get Rich or Die Trying, even all the mixtapes and albums he dropped before that, like 50 Cent Into Future, Guess Who's Back, he was still on the streets, doing what he was doing.
Getting shot helped him out a lot, didn't it?
Exactly. That his integrity was intact.
Yeah, right there.
You know, it's like, this guy's been shot 9 times or however many times he was shot. Right, gangster. Do you know what I mean? And it made it credible.
Yeah.
But then when he was a multi-millionaire with his own record label, and then he was still saying he was out of town selling drugs, I was like, dude, your face is a bit too recognizable. Do you know what I mean?
I'd love it if he was.
Isn't that 50 Cent selling cocaine? Isn't that if you said on the corner?
Yeah.
With the dope
boys. Denying it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's and like... also, what kind of deal are you getting? What return are you getting on album sales if you're still having to, like, knock out a couple of bags on the street? Like, what did you think of Marshall Mathers LP2? MMLP2?
I listened to that in New York at, like, a record store.
Did you go out specifically to listen to it?
No, I went out specifically to buy sneakers.
Did you?
Yeah, we were at...
Oh, you're a sneakerhead, right?
I'm a massive sneakerhead, yeah. So I was on my way to Flight Club, and we passed through this store. I listened to it, didn't buy it.
Really?
Yeah.
Piss off.
Honestly.
Why?
Just didn't want it.
Moved on.
Genuine. Yeah, that's it. I think that's what it is. I feel like I've kind of moved on. Wow. There was such a massive gap between all of the... Like I said, I only own Marshall Mathers and Slim Shady LPs as far as Eminem albums go. There was too big a gap.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I'd lost interest. I had lost interest.
You've lost me, mate.
Yeah.
You've done.
You're done, mate.
I waited for you. I waited for you for Eminem show. I waited for you through Encore.
Yeah. And you just kept collaborating with Rihanna. When you're done, mate, you finished, yeah? You finished.
Get off the pills. Yeah?
Eminem only needed to release two albums and could have gone down as the greatest.
And then imagine if he'd have done that, because he probably made enough money off those two records.
I personally think so.
Then do 8 Mile.
Yeah.
And then go, thanks, guys.
I went to see him at one of his Wembley shows.
Yeah. How was that?
It was wicked. I was so happy.
That show, I heard the shows were good. What I got a bit tired of was everyone banging on about how incredible it was that he did Rap God live. Like, do you know
what I mean? That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. The songs that got the biggest response were the earlier songs.
Really?
Like, My Name Is.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going mad, word for word, everyone. There was like a 50-year-old woman sitting next to me, rapping every word. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My Name Is probably, like, Stan went down really well.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was the earlier material.
You're an artist, music artist, right? Do you think if you had you'd done that many albums and then you came out and did a live show and everyone was going crazy for the early stuff, would that make you think, wow, this is great, or would that be massively depressing?
I think both in abundance. Like, I'd be happy that I'd sold out 3 Wembley stadiums.
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to sugar the pill. Yeah, sorry, I forgot about that.
That's always going to help us sleep.
Do what he wants.
Yeah, but then, you know, you're
oh my God, this 50-year-old woman is singing along to My Name. It's going to be so difficult to sleep on my bed of money when I get home.
You're absolutely right. It's bittersweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you'd think... The fact that they like my old stuff more than my new stuff means that effectively I've got worse.
Yeah.
That's what it's at face value. That's what it means. But I think that there's so many things about Eminem that he came at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't one of these. Like, the fact of the matter is, rap, hip hop, it's black music, right?
Yeah.
Many white MCs came before Eminem. But they were, a lot of them were trying to adopt black cultural issues.
Yeah.
Eminem was one of the first that did it credibly, talking about white issues.
I know. He was he was hip hop, but he was unashamedly white, wasn't
exactly.
he? Do you know what I mean?
It wasn't exactly.
I think the worst example of that has got to be Young Black Teenagers. Do you remember Young Black Teenagers?
Yeah, incredible.
Young Black Teenagers were like, they were sort of co-signed by Public Enemy, which let them get away with calling themselves Young Black Teenagers, despite the fact they're all white.
Amazing.
They sort of look like New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, they did a bit. And they did that song. Do you remember on Public Enemy, they had a track and Madonna sampled that, the backing beat for that track on Justify My Love. The Justify My Love is originally on a Public Enemy album, the backing beat.
Right.
And then apparently they weren't credited or something like that, right? So there's some controversy. So then Young Black Teenagers did a track called To My Donna, where they're having a go at Madonna on behalf of Public Enemy.
Amazing.
And then everyone, I don't mind that they call themselves
Chuck
Black.
They must have been over the moon.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Dear Donna, you say you want a reason. You say you need my love. Others say you're teasing. Claim you're like a virgin.
While other brothers virgin. Yet you stress fear. Well, listen up, my dear. But I think that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
And then in interviews, they were going like, well, because blackness is a state of mind. I don't think it is, man. No, I don't think it is. I think you actually have to be black to claim that you're black.
It's like recently Dappy has been under attack. He's come under fire because he's used the word nigger in at the beginning of one of his tunes, right? But he's had two black people before his voice comes in. There's two black guys going, yeah, you know, they're using the word nigger, and obviously that's an argument that goes on, you know. If no one can use it, should black people? I personally think that a black person should be able to use the word nigger as a term of endearment. I think that black people should have the right to reclaim that word. And he's taken it upon himself to be like, you know, my baby mother's black, you know, I can do these things now. And I'm like, well, you know, a couple hundred years ago, I'm pretty sure there were slave owners who had a baby with a black woman. That wouldn't, know what I mean? It's completely, that for me, that doesn't give you license at all. He's like, you know, he said the same sort of thing, you know, blackness is a state of mind and this. And I'm like, dude, there is no way that a Greek person has ever been hit with a racial slur, nigger. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't, that's not what you're going to, you know what I mean? If you are a fascist prick and you're going to insult a Greek person on off the back of their ethnic origin, then you're not, the first word you're going to think of is not going to be nigger. I don't think. No one in the history of racism has ever gone, yo, that Greek nigger over there. Do you know what I mean? So I think,
that's racial harassment gone wrong, isn't it? You just got to respond, dude. It's not even the right slur.
Yeah,
exactly. Think again, man.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip hop album you bought?
Your first hip hop album ever, was it Ready to Die?
Yes, I believe it was. Yeah, pretty sure. Okay.
Well, that question. That's covered. Well done, mate. Smashed it. Very efficient guest you are. Do you have any? If things about hip hop that you don't like, are there any issues you have with it? Gripes, that's it. Hip hop gripes, that's what the item's called. Thank you.
That's the sting.
Oh, man. Hip hop gripes.
I think the only one is the concept of femcees.
Yeah. So tell me about this, because it's not something I'm right.
For me, an MC is an MC. You know, black, white, gay, straight, woman, man. You know, some of the biggest advances in hip hop are down to women. Like, I don't know if Debbie Harry was the first person to rap on MTV.
Fab Five Freddy told me everybody slide. DJ is spinning, I said my. Flash is fast, flash is cool. Francois and Bar, flash ain't no Duke. And you don't.
That's huge, right? Despite that, there is still the concept of femcees that just separates women from men. And you've got to put this stupid little prefix on it. Do you know what I mean?
Who's doing that?
I don't know. The
Roomage, I heard you do it. You've been doing it.
Just like, you know, the press. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what its origins are. Right. I don't know who coined the term femcee. But I just don't think it's right.
There's no female rappers using it as in.
I think there are probably some, but I don't know. I've just got a gripe. I've got four sisters, like I said. If one of my sisters wanted to be an MC, she's got the right to be an MC. Yeah. She shouldn't have to be called
a femc.
Yeah. What does her gender have to do with it? If she's like, you know, not only, like I said, was Debbie Harry the first person to rap on MTV? You've got MCs, female MCs that are better than a lot of men. Male MCs. Lauryn Hill, amazing MC.
Yeah.
Lisa Left Eye Lopez, amazing MC. MC Light. Like, even like bringing it over to the UK, like Miss Dynamite, Lady Leisha, Amplify Dot. These are all respectable lyricists, you understand? But then they still have to have that.
I think, like, you know, you sort of, if you think about, and I'm talking sort of all my, I'm talking mostly about America now, but like, or US hip hop, but like, you think about years ago, like, you know, when we're talking about, you know, first albums and stuff like that, you had like MC Light and like even more recently like Ra Digger and people like that.
I need a rock neck, I need a dude with an attitude, only need his fingers with his food,
corking, not sagging, Timbo's dragging, fronting in his ride with his homeboys bragging. Those were like really hard MCs, right? Whereas now, if you look at, and you know, there are still like female MCs that just spit, but like, it feels like the industry like pushes what we get served as the biggest artists as sort of, they almost get R&B'd or there's something, do you know what I mean? It's not sort of, I don't know, it feels like a slightly different audience that they're going for, do you know what I mean?
Almost like a subgenre.
Yeah, it does, in a way that it didn't really used to feel like that, do you know what I mean? Like, if you did hip-hop, I
guess. Absolutely, look at No Diggity, which is probably, that's very, very close to being in the cheese category. Yeah. That's such a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dr. Dre, Blackstreet and Queen Penn.
Yeah, that's so true. You said
and
that
that's very
now.
Nearly cheese, yeah. Wedding, yeah. Mm. It's a wedding playlist song.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But Queen Penn on that tune kills it.
Yeah.
Absolutely kills it.
That's my peeps and we roll deep. Flying first class from New York City to Black Street. What you know about me? Now I'm saying Cartier wooded frame sported by my shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond.
It's a good name as well, Queen Pen, isn't it?
Queen Pen, yeah.
I like it. Do you think it means like a pen that you write with?
I hope it means her first name's Penelope.
or her surname's Pen.
She's grabbing the hood as good. She's like, this name ain't popping. I need to abbreviate that shit, yo. Penelope. Queen Pen. Yeah.
MC Penelope.
Imagine coming at Queen Penelope.
That's like something from
Last Dream with Dr. Dre and Queen Penelope. Spitting some bars. So you don't like femcees?
Sounds like a sort of illness or like a STD or something.
Yeah, femcee. Yeah. Got femcee.
Or maybe a medicine.
Oh, sorry to hear that, mate.
What's happened to Queen Penelope?
She's got femcee.
She's got the femcee.
She's got
a really strong dose of femcees. Cool. All right. Live performances. What do you think of live hip-hop?
Great, love it. Been to, seen some of my, I'm lucky enough to have seen some of my favourite MCs live I've seen Jay-Z a handful of times, I've seen Kanye West, but I've also had the privilege of seeing like DJ Premier. Never seen Gangsta together. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Guru on his own at a Carhartt store one time, but this was during the split.
Yeah.
So DJ Premier wasn't there. But then I did see, I've actually supported DJ Premier.
Are you serious?
Wow. I have, yeah. I had the privilege of supporting Prime at Islington Assembly Hall last year. So that's DJ Premier, Royster 5'9". Massive, forget the show itself, just the fact that I can say I've done that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was not bothered that, because obviously being an opening act, it's quite hard, you know. Sometimes if you're first on, you're playing to people as they're coming in, you know what I mean? I didn't care, mate. I did not care. It's like, you know what I mean? And the thing is, what's an even bigger honour for me is the fact that I'm actually friends with DJ Premier. Like, I met him through... He was over in the UK the year before last, working with a lot of UK MCs and also singers. He's a huge fan of Rag & Bone Man, for instance. But Jordan and Harley from Rizzle Kicks, two of my best friends, and they were like, we know you're a huge DJ Premier fan. Why don't you come and hang out in the studio when we're working with him? Amazing. I was like, yeah, hell yeah. So I went through...
This is a story, mate.
It was an absolute dream.
Yeah.
So we hung out and
what was he like?
So cool. Just like the coolest person. Like, I nearly put my foot in my mouth at one point because he's very particular about... Because he's a legendary... Possibly the most legendary hip-hop producer of all time.
How did you refer to him?
So. I just called him Primo.
Primo?
Yeah, I just called him Primo. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
What is his real name?
I can't remember his
real name. I think it's... Penelope.
it's a Cuthbert.
Kingpin.
Yeah, no, sorry.
He's an absolute gentleman. I remember going to... He was producing. He was on his MPC. He had all his samples and that.
Yeah.
And I went to film him and he was like, no filming. I've never let anyone film my production process.
Wow.
Yeah, never. It doesn't exist, apparently. There's no footage of him ever... producing, apart from if it's something specific, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if he's
done
something, it's like, I'm going to produce a beat on the spot, blah blah blah. But if he's making a record, no filming. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but he was just really nice about it. He was just like, never, you know, people never.
I mean,
aren't allowed
he
to
is
film.
A legend.
Absolutely.
Also, he does these little cameos on hip hop albums where he goes, "I'm sick of this popcorn pop shit."
Yeah.
I'd always be nervous around him that I'd say something that he might think is like,
"You're a sellout.
You commercial sellout." No, Primo. Jesus, shit, no. I'm only into the hardcore, bruv. But man, what an experience to work with Primo.
Yeah. So his we hung out together in New York as well. It was then that, you know, that kind of really solidified our friendship. You know, he was over here and you know, I did him a couple of favours, got them some things that they needed, yeah. If you know what I mean? And then I went over to New York, and then they returned the favour, him and his manager.
Yeah.
So his manager, Ian Schwartzman, lovely guy. And we were just kind of having a text conversation, and he was like, yeah, we're back over in the UK soon. And I was like, oh, if you ever need a support act, just as a joke.
Yeah.
He was like, cool, yeah.
Amazing. Sick.
You can support Prime. When they come over.
Oh my God.
Just like that. Do you know what I mean? Just through text.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
So listen, tell us, what are you up to the moment? Well, first of all, current stuff.
Yeah.
You've got stuff in stores at the moment, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's things that have been put out. I haven't actually released anything for nearly 2 years now. Last EP I released was the Godfather EP. That's still out on iTunes. Basically, I wrote that based on the fact that one of my best friends had just had a son and made me the Godfather. So I wrote a song around that, and then thought, oh, I might as well put it out with a few more songs. So I released like a 4-track EP called The Godfather.
There's a video where you jizz on everything.
Yeah, that's from that EP. That's called Full Clip.
I'm not pulling out real guns to you, but I've got a good calibre of love for you. So if we enter something, I'll protect it too, because I wouldn't want to leave any exit wounds. Some dude popped a gap and that reached your heart, but you were shot down like Nancy Sinatra. That means your armour put into the test, but that geezer fucked up your bulletproof vest.
This video, man.
Yeah.
I was sick, because it starts off, you just think, this looks quite sedate, and then all of a sudden,
it's weird, yeah.
It is
basically
weird. What was the concept behind that?
So what it is the song's called Full Clip, and it's about guns of love, right? And there's lots of like double entendres in the lyrics.
Talking
about
D.
Bad. No. So like the director just thought, we might as well make the video the antithesis of the song.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, let's make the video just about sex.
Right.
So it starts, the intro starts with me in my flat, and I'm with this girl. And then she proceeds to fellate me, and
roommate is submitted.
Get ready to Google.
And then before, so I don't arrive, in her mouth.
Yeah,
there's no euphemism for in her mouth.
He doesn't.
I'm just gonna have to say that
FMC.
In her mouth.
Yeah, there's something there.
You undermine that whole FMC discussion with one comment. You know that.
But I do end up basically jizzing all around London.
Right. Yeah.
On like the Lions and by Nelson's Column.
Great.
What did you use for the jizz?
It was just a solution of like, I think it was, because that's not actually me doing it.
Yeah.
It's the director. He just got like a camera, a Boris bike, and was just like, just shooting perspective and just... he made this
stuff.
Yeah, but just squirting it out of like a Dove cream bottle.
Right. So
Was he on his own?
Yeah, he was on his own. Yeah, he got a there's a scene where he gets a policeman outside Shoreditch High Street Overground Station.
Imagine,
and he gets him on his ankle. I know. So how do you explain that?
What the fuck is he doing?
I can't wait to see how this one can turn out.
Oh,
but yeah, the only scenes that I was involved in the video are just the scenes that I'm in.
Right.
You know, so everything else where it appears that I'm jizzing around London.
That's a lot of trust you're putting in him, because he's going to go, oh yeah, listen, Michael, I'm just going to go off and like jizz on random shit in London.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'll just put it in the video. Is that
huge
cool?
Amount of trust, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those cool little projects that we just did independently, you know, because this was post, you know, the major label. You know, the label probably would never have cleared that, you know.
Yeah.
So I was glad that I wasn't with a label when I put that out.
On your... like on Blame Miss Barclay, actually, you talk about, you almost sort of refer to how temporary you think this all is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you sort of like, if you talk about copycat, people coming out and copying you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you talk about when this is all over, I'll still, do you know what I mean? Is that something you're conscious, like, is that something
100%.
You're conscious of?
100%. Yeah. I wake up every day thinking it's such a finite thing being a rapper, being a relevant rapper, especially, you know, the trends move along so quickly and that. But one thing that I'll always have is the respect that I get from other MCs.
Yeah.
People that I respect me. And so I don't care about like trends and, you know, rapping about things being lit and dabbing and, yeah, and drinking cough mixture and all that. Do you know what I mean? Just give me a pint. I'm good with just a pint, you know? And as long as my reputation is intact, as long as people revere me as a lyricist, as a good lyricist, then I don't care. And I think that one day it's shifting back to actual lyricism,
yeah,
as well, you know? So, yeah, it's something that I'm very conscious of, but it's why I try and get involved in so many other different projects. I don't see myself as just an MC at all, you know. I see myself, if anything, as a songwriter.
Yeah.
You know, I manage a girl at the moment, for instance, and I co-write everything with her as well. So
cool.
I think I'd be doing myself an injustice if I said I'm just an MC or I'm just a rapper.
Yeah. You don't see yourself as just an MC, do you?
No.
I'm glad. Yeah. You shouldn't, man. Don't sell yourself short.
So
I'm
yourself.
Still trying to find my voice.
So you've got an EP coming out soon, right?
I have, yeah. It's called Let MC It. More wordplay there.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's got some really cool guests on it. I've got Gigs on there, the MC, not the footballer. And I've got Trim, Screwfizzar, Dot Brown, and Tony D and Jordan Stevens from Rizzle Kicks. They're all the guests on this. So yeah. It's a 7-track EP, and it's really, really cool.
It's
going
to be coming out soon, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, that should be out by the end of... By February should be out, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool, we'll check that out.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Thank you. See you, Rumaj. Goodbye, Rumaj.
Nu bij Coolblue. 100 euro korting op de HP Spectre 2-in-1 laptop met Windows 10. Start je laptop nog sneller op dankzij de 1 terabyte SSD-schijf. Vandaag besteld op coolblue.nl. Morgen gratis thuisbezorgd.